farewell, Serbs. And may the God in whom you do not believe have mercy upon your soul.
Although you do not know us, madam, my colleague and I will be happy to present your case before the authorities.
The death of Smith was accidental. We can testify to that.
No, I do not know you. But I know you are good men, and I trust you. That is why I ask you to take charge of these documents. The diary, the letters, these will save Alexis. I confide them to your honor and your love of justice. You will deliver them to the Russian embassy for me. And this is all that must be done.
But, madam, you will need these documents as evidence in your own defense.
I need nothing. Please do as I say. These are my last words.
Button Hawkins, stop her!
Dear God.
It's a simple case, yet in some ways an instructive one. Mm. It turned upon pince-nez, of course.
Yes, of course. Without it, you might never have reached the solution. And if the unhappy woman hadn't been short-sighted, she might have found a way to the back door and made her escape.
Yes, you're asked to believe that without her pince-nez, she left the house and walked along that narrow strip of grass, never making one false step. I called it a remarkable performance. I should have said an impossible one. Yes, I therefore reached the conclusion that she must have remained within the house. When I realized the similarity between the two corridors, it became clear that she had entered the professor's room.
Ah, yes. I seem to remember when we left the study, you took a few steps in the wrong direction yourself, didn't you?
Yes, I may have done. It was an easy mistake to make. Yes, but thank you for reminding me, Watson.
No, don't mention it. There's only one small point I don't quite understand.
Really? What's that?
How did you know about the secret hiding place?
I didn't know. I examined the room carefully and saw that although there were piles of books everywhere else on the floor, a space had been left clear in front of a tall bookcase. So I smoked as many cigarettes as possible and scattered the ash. Simple trick, but effective. And when we returned after lunch, I saw from the traces on the carpet that in our absence the lady had come out of her retreat.
Poor creature. I suppose she couldn't face the ordeal ahead of her in London. No doubt when she heard the train coming, she decided to take her own life.
I think she'd been planning it for some time. It was her husband who unwittingly put the idea into her head. When he talked of Anna Karenina, knowing she could hear everything he said, he couldn't resist the chance to vilify the heroine, the faithless wife, the worthless creature. If he'd troubled to finish reading the novel, he'd have known that in the closing page, Anna throws herself under a train.
I did my best to stop her, but...
Oh, she was quite determined. At this moment, Hopkins will be at Scotland Yard, making his report, doing his duty. And tomorrow, we must do ours.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Watson, you and I will drive together to the Russian embassy so that, God willing, an innocent man may be set free.
In The Golden Pince-nez, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with Morris Denham as Professor Coram and Maureen O'Brien as the strange lady. Inspector Hopkins was played by Andrew Wincott, Mrs. Marker by Linda Polan, Susan Tarleton by Federer Holmes, and Constable Langdon by James Telfer. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Golden Pince-nez was dramatized for radio by Peter Ling and directed by Enid Williams.